The following episode originally aired in 1979. On today's program, we travel all the way back to the first year of piano jazz, 1979, with Marianne McPartland and her guest, Barbara Carroll.
Such a great tune. Barbara's Carol. Barbara Carroll, how are you, dear?
I'm fine, and you know I haven't played that tune. Well, it's been so long, I almost forgot it.
Well, but you know, I love that thing, and you used that as your theme for quite a while, from the Embers on, I think. And I always identified that with you, and I thought, since you were going to be here on the show, and welcome to the show, by the way.
Yes, thank you.
That I would love to hear that.
Well, it's something that I wrote a very long time ago, and the title was very cutesy at that time, Barbara's Carol, and then I sort of gave up on it. I became bored with it, and I didn't like the name, and I just didn't like the whole idea of it, so I sort of just put it back in the files and didn't play it for a very, very long time. And then you mentioned it this evening, so here we go again.
I wanted to hear that. That piece is nice, really is. The structure of it, in fact, you have a very distinctive style. I would know your style anywhere. You know, jazz is such a personal thing that it must be something in your personality that makes you choose certain voicings and certain kind of what I would call like lean lines in the bass. I don't know how else to describe them. Ooh. Sort of fourths and sevenths and things that are very interesting sound. You're almost oriental at times, somebody said
once.
Oh,
gee. Well, that's lovely. Thank you. Again, I don't know what to say about that because it's nothing that I do really consciously. I do those things because they sound good to me.
Well, I think we ought to acknowledge this gentleman who's standing so patiently beside you, and I know he's dying to play, Mr.
Indeed.
George Duvivier. And we had something all picked out for you to join in on, George. And this is a tune I associate with Barbara because she had really quite a big hit with this tune. I used to listen and think, how nice to have a record that everybody plays all the time. And
well,
and it was this
wasn't
one.
Wasn't exactly a big hit. It was rather a minor hit.
in the jazz world, I would consider that a big hit.
Well, it's a great tune. Let me put it that way.
And the arrangement you had on it was probably the definitive arrangement. I think you stopped me playing that tune for years.
Really?
Really, because I would hear the way you did it, and it just seemed to be the way to do that tune.
I don't really do it that way anymore. I think,
of course you don't. I'd feel terrible if you said you did,
yeah.
Because you've moved ahead.
I hope so.
You know, you're not doing things the way you did years ago.
It's impossible to do that. I don't want to do that. And even if I wanted to, I really wouldn't know how.
So why don't you play your now version of Dancing on the Ceiling with
okay.
George Duvivier.
Thank you.
sure is a different version. And nice, lovely.
You know, when you're playing music with George DeVivier, you don't have to worry about anything because he's right there. It's like a beautiful velvet cushion to float on.
I know. Well, I know. Ask him to tell you about the little trip we made to Portugal.
Oh, yes?
These days.
Is there something we should all know about
that? Oh, yeah. Well, definitely. Definitely. He's...
he's not talking. He's very discreet.
No, we need a little more time to talk about that. We must do that sometime. But something that you do that I like a lot is you get into some of the contemporary tunes as well as sticking to the old standards.
Well, you know, we have all heard that they're not writing songs the way they used to. Well, they're not writing songs the way they used to. They're writing them differently, but that does not necessarily mean that some people are not writing some good songs, because
no,
some people are.
Agree. It's true.
People like Leon Russell,
mm-hmm.
and Stevie Wonder, and Billy Joel, and there are others who are really writing some worthwhile stuff. And I like to play a lot of it, because for one thing, it's a change of pace, and it gets you away from the standards, which there's nothing wrong with the standards. They're all wonderful and we all love them. But it is nice to incorporate new things all the time, and I try to do that.
Also for yourself, I mean, for your own feeling, you know, you really need to play new tunes.
Absolutely.
And learn new things. And Stevie Wonder has, he's got so many great songs.
Oh, wonderful stuff.
Like, do you do All in Love is Fair?
Oh, I love it. It's a beautiful tune. And If It's Magic,
uh-huh.
it's great. People like Chick Corea are writing wonderful
Windows,
things.
Do you do that one?
No, I must, though. I've heard it. It's
yeah, that's
marvelous.
A pretty song.
So it's really good for the artist and for the audience and for everyone concerned to keep current tunes as part of the repertoire.
How about this one?
How about?
Would you want to have at it a little bit?
Together.
Isn't she lovely? Yeah.
Why not?
All right.
All right.
Is that your
How
key?
Any key you say?
I don't know. You start. You're the guest. There's something very exhilarating about doing that and having it work out.
You know that in all the years we have known each other, this is the first time we have ever played double piano.
I know, and I was really wondering what it was going to be like, because your, as I was saying before, your voicings and your harmonic ideas are so different from mine. Mm-hmm. Or I thought they were, but now I see it's not so different.
Actually, I don't know really what it sounds like, but it felt awful good.
Yeah, didn't it? George, was it all right?
Beautiful.
Oh, thank you.
George has
thank
spoken.
You.
It's okay.
Well, it was all right having you doing it too, believe me. Those two new albums that you made for Blue Note, well, I guess you don't consider them new anymore. You're probably into a third one. But I've got to tell you how much I like both those albums, the choice of the tunes, and especially that second one. I don't know who put those arrangements together. Mm-hmm. I forget, but they're beautiful. Beautiful
that was the one that came out on United Artists label. Actually, it was an attempt to get into more of a contemporary sound.
I know, and it was very beautiful.
It worked in one way, I think, and maybe in another it didn't. I'm not quite sure. But I was happy with certain parts of the album, and the arrangements were done by Jimmy Wisner and Ben Lanzarone.
Jimmy Wisner, that's right. I know him.
He's so wonderful.
Yes,
and George Butler produced it. And it was very exciting because I had wonderful people playing. Steve Gadd played bass.
Right.
I mean, played drums.
Yeah,
Ron Carter was on bass and Hugh McCracken on guitar. Just great guys.
Yeah, in fact, you did a Ron Carter tune.
Blues Country.
Blues Country,
yes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I like that.
And then I did a couple of things with just rhythm section.
Mm.
In fact, Isn't She Lovely was one of them.
Yeah.
So it was an interesting concept. And it was an attempt to do something a little different.
Well, I thought it came off, and I like your own things too, but I think it was the earlier album that had In Some Other World.
Yes, this is a waltz.
When did you do that?
When did I write it?
Yeah.
2 years ago, something
did
like
you?
That. Yes.
It's mm-hmm. very pretty. It has like two or three themes in it?
Yes, it's a waltz in two parts. It's sort of a classical form, really. It's sort of a suite, and the first section is a medium tempo waltz, and then it goes into a very slow part, and it reverts back to the original strain. It's called In Some Other World.
To hear the full Piano Jazz broadcast, tune in next week to your NPR station, or stream the program online at pianojazz.npr.org. Piano Jazz is a production of South Carolina Public Radio.